Tango Tango Papa 2055, June 27, 2020.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Kennesaw, Georgia. Well, I'm in Marietta. I'm on my way to Kennesaw. Those are both suburbs of Atlanta. it's been, if you follow the news, I think it's been pretty chaotic since the last podcast. And, you know, I really don't follow the news. I have people kind of send me news articles, and then I periodically, you know, kind of look through my email and I see headlines. So I pretty much, you know, kind of know what's going on. And on the insanity seems to just keep growing worse and worse. And unfortunately, I think that's going to continue. I think people have, you know, and I had it at one time, this idea that, well, maybe at some point things will just kind of go back to normal. Well, I don't think they will. Whatever that was. You know, now, I don't know. You know, before, if you go back, or if I think back, before, you know, like towards the end of the, you know, in the 90s, it seemed like things were building towards something, you know, and eventually 9/11 happened, and, you know, and if you remember back, that seemed like it was a pretty chaotic time. You know, that seemed to be a pretty chaotic time. And I guess people may have just sort of grown used to, you know, they kind of, to a certain extent, maybe tuned out or whatever, and then they just sort of grew used to whatever. But what's going on now, of course, a lot of this is planned. The chaos is planned. They are really desperate. You know, there are people that are desperately trying to get rid of Trump, and you know, because they had these, you know, and you believe this or not, I mean, you know, people call it conspiracy theory, but it's really not. People had this long-term plan, you know, of how they were going to have one world government, and everything was, you know, you were going to have these basically, you know, sort of a small ruling elite that would sort of rule the world, and they would, you know, they had all these grandiose plans about how they were going to especially have one world government. And they thought it was within their grasp, you know, especially with Obama. 8 years of Obama, they thought that was really within their grasp, and it was just you know, it was when Hillary was going to be the thing that just sealed the deal. And of course that never happened. And you know, and then, okay, so then their plan, well, we gotta, you know, we're gonna get rid of Trump, and then, you know, because they have this idea, if you think the way they do, they've got this idea on the other side that, you know, that was within their grasp, and so that now they have to revert to these other plans, and but, you know, they're going to be successful. They have this idea that they're still going to have their one world government. Well, I don't think so. So now they're just, you know, they're desperately trying to do all kinds of things in order to at least get back to where they were, you know, get rid of Trump, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have all these just the crazy people that a lot of them, you know, they some of them know what they're doing. There's a lot of them that just they're sort of hangers-on, and they just, you know, they're just well, they're brainwashed is one way of putting it, or they're programmed. And you know, a lot of the people that you know, they're like these the Black Lives Matter and what have you. That's really about they want to impose a kind of a one world Marxist government. You know, there's a Marxist ideology that's behind it, and of course that's festered in that's been allowed to fester in all kinds of so-called higher education for years. Institutions of higher education, you know, and they've been, instead of educating people, they've been brainwashing people, turning them into, you know, mind-numbed communist-loving robots, educating them out of their common sense, you know, and, you know, kind of stripping them of their common sense, and you know, and of course, it all relies on building their ego, making them think that they're better than everybody else because they've got their college degrees and what have you, and that they're smarter. And you know, but it all revolves around ego and sort of enhancing the and massaging the wrong side of the ego. And with weak-minded people, that works, unfortunately. So, but, you know, and on another level, you can look at this. It's a battle between good and evil. And evil possesses people. You know, and evil at this point, you know, knows it's going to lose. It's going to lose the. It's, you know, it. We know what. We know that it loses. And you know, it's not. There is not going to be a one-world government. That's not going to happen. But you know, these people really are possessed. And there really is such a thing as evil. And so, you know, the intensity of this is just going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. Now, I don't know what, it can't go on forever. I don't know what the breaking point is. But in the meantime, it's not, you know, you can just expect this frenzy really to continue to build and build and build. You know, so I don't know. The best thing to do, I keep telling people, and there's so many people that are addicted to, you know, they know that the news, they shouldn't be watching this, the mainstream media, so-called mainstream media. They know they shouldn't be watching it, but they do it anyway. And, you know, they're really addicted to it for various reasons. And they'll sit there and just watch it, and they're sucked in, and they're on their devices. They're on their phones all the time, you know, looking at this and looking at that, and they get sucked into it. You know, and of course it ends up, Yeah, because you get the little dopamine hits, but at the same time, it increases your misery, it increases your anxiety, and it becomes a vicious circle. You know, then they start looking at it, you know, just every few minutes they got to look at it again, in hopes of, you know, kind of distracting themselves from the misery that they feel. And it really is best if you can simply, you know, divorce yourself from it. And you really can. You know, it's not easy if you have, you know, like with me, you know, if people would leave me alone, I could, you know, kind of ignore most of it. But then, like I say, I have people sending me stuff, you know. But apart from real world things, let's say a road is blocked or something, then, you know, then I have to pay attention to that. But and I can easily do that, you know, and I have been with the Google Maps, and of course that hasn't happened lately. The freeways have all been fine. Apart from that, you know, I just kind of so far have been able to go about my business, and, you know, so far so good. But, you know, kind of looking at the real world, there's really, if I could just, you know, kind of completely ignore the mobile device, I guess a drastic step would just be to shut it completely off. That would be probably the most drastic step. Of course, I can't really do that because I do need to, you know, be able to receive calls every now and then from either the company, the trucking company, and or my family, parents, for example. I do need to be able to receive calls, so I can't really shut it off per se. But if I shut it off, that would eliminate everything. You know, it would eliminate, you know, email and everything. But, and I can imagine it would be still easy for me to go about my business with it all turned off and, you know, completely ignoring whatever was going on. But, like I say, I think it's going to get worse. It's going to become more and more intense, especially, you know, up to the election, and then God only knows what's going to have to happen after that. Trump is going to win. I have no doubt about that. You know, and I don't know if that's the breaking point to, you know, to kind of get these people to, you know, return to some sort of sobriety, some sort of sanity. But, you know, or if they're just going to go that much more crazy. But I think, you know, another thing that could happen is, you know, if some of the people, you know, that have committed crimes, you know, like high-level crimes, the FBI, you know, like you had the officials, the government officials that have, you know, that have created, you know, they have committed crimes on a very high level. And I think if some of those people start going to, you know, getting arrested and go to trial and maybe even, you know, go to jail or even executed for treason, I think that might be enough of a shock to get some of this stuff to calm down a little bit. But in the meantime, you know, all these governors and mayors, that are, you know, just grabbing all of this, you know, just all of the power, and they're requiring masks, force people to wear masks. And then of course they say, well, it's for your safety, you know. And then the thing with that Chaz or CHOP in Seattle, which is, as far as I know, is still going on, still being allowed to go on. I think that's really causing a lot of people that normally haven't been paying attention to kind of wake up. And then in California, I just saw an article that said, California's going to, they've got this mandate now that they're going to require electric trucks, all electric trucks by 2024. Good luck with that. That's not workable. Yeah, you can have a few electric trucks, but that, requiring all electric, that's not workable. It's not even feasible. They don't have an electric grid that could even support it. Where's all the charging infrastructure going to come from? Who's going to pay for it? Couldn't even be constructed that quickly. I don't know, with all of these things that are happening, I think it's, there's this term red pilling, kind of red pilling people. And, it's sort of, the idea is that they're sort of forced to wake up. And I think that's happening. I think that's happening on a broad scale, as, faster than, more so than ever before. So there are some hopeful signs. You're never going to hear it reported. A lot of the bastions of the communist indoctrination, very liberal colleges, are in the process of collapsing. And they may, and this virus, they were already in the process of collapsing before the virus. And this virus has really acted as a catalyst and caused a lot of them to permanently close their doors. And that's ongoing, and of course it isn't being reported, but that's actually a hopeful sign, because those are basically liberal factories. That's where liberals are created. That's where they're brainwashing centers. So the brainwashing centers are in the process of going bankrupt, closing down permanently. That's a hopeful sign. Another really interesting thing that was made aware of was, since the fall of the Soviet Union, it's been, about 30 years since the fall of the Soviet Union, there's been an average of one new church open in Russia, in particular, every 3 days. There's been one new church, the equivalent of one new church opening up. And, there's this, I watched this video of, it's like a brand new cathedral, and it's really almost like a medieval type construction. I think it was in Moscow, maybe, and so they'd had exterior drone shots and interior shots. And the thing is absolutely spectacular, of course, the Russian Orthodox Church. And so the church membership and Christianity is really growing in Russia at an unprecedented pace. And of course, that was after, the communists pretty much eradicated any kind of religion, especially Christianity. But after the communist state fell, you know, here it comes back. So that's actually a hopeful sign. But, you know, we really do need, you know, that's not a perfect thing, you know, really having a church and what have you. That's, it's not a perfect system. However, it, you know, it is, you know, you need some sort of a support structure, you know, that really supports the very basis of the functional society is a so-called nuclear family. You know, with a mom and a dad, you know, in a monogamous relationship, you know, mom and a dad and the kids. And that really is the basic unit of successful society. You know, is the family fully functional? Well, of course not. But it can be, you know, it's the best we have. And it can be pretty, you know, it's not perfect, but it can be pretty good. So, you know, that, and of course, those things are all under a deliberate attack, you know, especially, you know, like in the United States. Of course, the United States is the focus. You know, because if they think if they can take the U.S. down, then the rest of the world will just follow. So that's why the United States is under such pressure. And it's not just randomly happening. It's all deliberate, and these people are desperate now. Because they know, a lot of them know, that the time's up and that they're probably going to end up in jail or executed for treason. You know, and a lot of these leaders, that, you know, these so-called leaders and the elites have really engaged in just, you know, behaviors that the average person can't imagine. I'm talking, you know, things like, you know, just all kinds of really perversities, pedophilia, satanic rituals, etc., etc., etc. So, you know, and eventually that's all going to come out. You know, and it's going to be, it'll come out in a form that's undeniable. And, you know, because a lot of people just, they don't want to believe that. They don't want to believe that the people that they've looked up to are capable, the people that they've placed on a pedestal are capable of stuff like that. I know. So, but the thing is, the truth always comes out. In the end, you don't get away with anything. You know, personally, you know, on whatever level, you don't get away with stuff. You may think you're going to get away with it. You don't. Don't get away with anything. And as I've said many times, it's best just to make friends with your conscience. And, you know, kind of don't, you know, make friends with it, and don't violate that, you know, don't try to run away from it and bury it, because you just make it worse. So, you know, So, you're best off if you can avoid getting caught up in hysteria. And as I said before, I think mass hysteria is the most dangerous thing that a human being faces, that we as human beings face. Mass hysteria is, you know, history is littered with you know, the excesses of mass hysteria. And it's far more dangerous than any kind of earthquake or weather or hurricane or any kind of natural disaster. Mass hysteria trumps all of them. Mass hysteria, of course, you know, any kind of hysteria leads to misery. You know, and I really believe that misery itself cannot exist without hysteria. And so, you know, the idea then is to, you know, get rid of your hysteria. Get rid of, you know, the tendency we have towards hysteria. But of course, hysteria supports the wrong side of our ego. You know, people love to, you know, they may be miserable, but then at the same time, they sort of love, they have their little love affair with, you know, being hysterical. They get some, they're getting some ego value out of it. It's kind of like, you know, with the carbohydrates. People, you know, they kind of know that it's, you know, there's something not right about eating all the sweets and all the crap that they eat. You know, and then, of course, you have so-called experts telling them, oh, well, yeah, eat the rice. That's healthy. Those are healthy carbohydrates. Eat the, you know, eat the whole wheat bread. Those are healthy carbohydrates. No, they're not. They're not. There's nothing healthy about them at all. You know, it's, but somehow, you know, even if they know it's wrong, you know, to that they're. So on some level, they know that they shouldn't be eating the chocolate and all this crap. But they do it anyway. You know, it's not about the, you know, and then, of course, there's the lie that it's, you know, calories in, calories out. And, you know, and then they'll say, well, you can't, don't you believe in the law of thermodynamics? Well, you know, that's a great theory, but it doesn't work when it comes to the human body. There's no such, you know, calories don't count. What counts, your body doesn't know what a calorie is. That's just a measurement, a unit of measurement. Your body doesn't know what it is. Your metabolism, your metabolic system, basically it responds hormonally, and you know, so it's all about hormones, and that depends precisely on what you eat, what you put in your mouth, what you swallow. That determines all these different hormonal mechanisms and how that structure works. And you eat the wrong things, and you know you're slowly poisoning yourself. Of course, the wrong things, you know, really have an appeal to the wrong side of the ego, if you stop and think about it. So, but people love their hysteria, even though it makes them miserable. You know, I mention it ever so often. You go to my website, truckertompodcast.com. Up at the top, there's a link that says meditation. Click on that. I think about 4 different MP3 files that you can right-click on, and you can either click on them and listen to them right there, or right-click and download them. And it'll teach you a very simple meditation technique. You know, it's the idea is that you just learn to focus your attention, you know, kind of pull your attention away from your thought, you know, all the thoughts that are in your mind, and, you know, kind of basically focus your attention, you know, on the moment. And you can actually prove to yourself that you are not your thoughts. You as a, you know, whatever we are as human beings, we have this point of awareness. And that point of awareness is not our thoughts. It's possible to be aware and not lost in thought. And, you know, completely caught up in thought. And it's really fascinating that, you know, it is possible to you know, more or less divorce yourself from the ability thing to make you hysterical. You know, people, places, and things. It's usually people, but it could be places and things people get hysterical about as well. You know, it's a funny thing about hysteria. If you, you know, someone becomes hysterical and, you know, they, if you don't become, you know, kind of respond in kind and give them the hysterical response that they're looking for, they'll become more hysterical. You know, and at some point, you know, they kind of reach a breaking point. And that, to a certain extent, that's what's happening with Trump. They have tried every way they can to get rid of him, and nothing works. Everything backfires. You know, with Trump and the Trump voters, everything is just keeps backfiring. Nothing works, and they're out of their minds. You know, and I don't know how much longer this goes on or how much crazier they get, but I can tell you one thing: they're not in a good place. They're not headed for a good place. But you know, if you want to remain sane, you know, kind of get back to sanity. And that's I think that's what people want. That's what I want. Just, you know, my world has stayed, it has remained sane the entire time. Even right now with all this mass hysteria stuff going on, my life is, or my let's say awareness is very peaceful, you know, is quite peaceful. I sleep very well at night, thank you very much. And I don't spend much time thinking about all this crap that's going on. I have zero anxiety. And I really attribute it to the fact that I've had this meditation technique. I've learned it it's been quite a few years ago now is when I, you know, kind of stumbled across it, Roy Masters, and he was on the radio and what have you, and I stumbled across that, and you know, so I've been, you know, kind of practicing this for many years, but and I can't promise that it's going to help, you know, everyone, but I do believe that it will help most people, but it depends on the person's motivation as well. You've got to, if you find that the meditation technique that's on my website, if you find that it helps you, then it's up to you to continue with it. Because, you know, just doing it one time's not enough. You have to want to learn how to live in the moment. You have to want to not be caught up in your thoughts. You have to want to let go of the perverse pleasure of judgment. So, anyway, I've got a couple of comments from Joel. I haven't listened to them at all, so we're going to be listening to them the first time together. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Joel McLaughlin here. I'm just talking to you from Baroque State Park in Gloucester, Ohio. I took a trip, little family vacay. I'm off all week. We're going to be camping until Wednesday. And I'm Thursday and Friday, I'm off still. Gives me time to clean all the camping gear up. but the reason I'm even talking to you, one, I'm getting ready to listen to your last, which I know I have a couple voice comments in there. But further though is this is the best way to get away from that crap. So the cell phone reception is actually pretty decent. Well, it's not great. It's 2 to 3 bars, but it's decent enough. I'm getting a good enough bandwidth. But that's all I really wanted to say. I'm sitting here enjoying a cup of coffee I just made on my camp stove. I'm getting ready to put some breakfast on. So take care, buddy.
Thank you, Joel. Well, I thought I had two voice files, but it turned out it was just that one short one. I should have listened to them before I spoke, I guess. Because the one that I thought it was actually, I played it in the last podcast. So, you know, the only thing I received from him, and it turned out, was just that little short comment. But it's actually kind of relevant to what I was talking about, you know, because he's talking about, you know, kind of getting away from all the madness. And, you know, and obviously, you know, kind of getting out in nature, you know, is a good way of, that's a very good way of kind of, you know, isolating yourself from the mass hysteria. You know, but like I said, you know, there's always some level of it. You know, I don't think we can ever get away from, you know, some sort of hysteria. Because, you know, we're created with a certain amount of emotion. But I'm convinced we end up perverting the emotion. You know, our ability to have emotions, we pervert that towards, you know, our, you know, fulfilling our own ends. In other words, to kind of bolster up the wrong side of our ego, to sort of play God in our own minds. And that's what human beings do. But we use those emotions. We gin them up and turn them into something they were, you know, they're never really intended for. Sort of in the same way, you know, go back to the carbohydrate analogy. You know, yeah, there's carbohydrates. Yeah, we have an ability to metabolize them. In fact, our liver actually makes a little bit of carbohydrate. Whatever, you know, there's some cells in our bodies that, yeah, they do have to have carbohydrates. But gee golly whiz, our liver can make, you know, that limited amount of carbohydrate, our liver can actually make it. And yet, what do we do as human beings? Oh boy, we just go crazy. You know, we've got carbohydrates, we're cramming carbohydrates 24/7, 365. We've got you name it, we've got carbohydrates. Just, you know, they're everywhere. I can look at people and, you know, I can, you know, yep, they're eating carbohydrates. I can just look at people and I can see it. Most people, it's obvious. Because they're bloated, swollen. And really it's because, you know, it goes back to hormones. Has nothing to do with calories. It's all about hormonal response. And that's just, it's sort of like a physical analogy to what we do with our emotions and our attention. Our attention being caught up in those emotions. You know, so it's not really possible, you know, you can go out into the woods or whatever, and, you know, like when I go home, you know, I have part of my, you know, I've got 2.5 acres, and most of it's wooded, 2/3 of it's wooded. And so and I've got a lot of trees and what have you, and I really do enjoy, you know, kind of sitting out on my back deck and, you know, looking at the trees. And the birds flying around, maybe an occasional squirrel or something. That is enjoyable. Very enjoyable. But I can't, you know, I can't do that 24/7. I have to, you know, I also live in the, you know, I have to interact with people. You know, that really is a necessary thing. We do need each other as people. You know, there's, you know, it's kind of like bees. You know, if you can have one bee, well, that's worthless, or one ant is worthless. You need the colony. One isn't enough. You know, so we have to really, in order to be functional human beings, we have to be able to interact with other human beings. That means working, you know, creating goods and services. More or less, you know, you're serving other people. You're serving the needs of other people. But, you know, so the idea is, how do you do that without becoming contaminated with other people's hysteria? Or contaminating other people with your own hysteria, because that happens in reverse. How do you mitigate that? Goes back to that meditation I was talking about. It enables me, where the meditation has helped me to, you know, kind of separate myself from my emotions. separate myself from my thoughts, my awareness from my thoughts, point of awareness, that enables me to interact with the world and not end up becoming contaminated with the hysteria of other people or their stupid actions. I don't become hysterical over it. When I was going through, Nashville, Tennessee earlier today, there was going down Interstate 24, it's an 8-lane freeway, 4 lanes going one way, 4 lanes going the other. Well, here I am in the second lane from the right, so you have, or it would be the third lane from the left. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4 lanes. I was in, if you count from the left, I was in lane number 3, or you could, or if you count from the left, the right to the left, I was in the second lane. So there's a fair amount of traffic, and I was, I like to stay back away from the other vehicles. But all of a sudden, there were all these people that were, trying to get off of one exit, and it was all backed up to the point where the right lane was actually blocked with people trying to, stop that wanted to get off at that exit. And then you had this stupid people cutting out of the line so they could dart ahead to try to get back in. And so there's a stupid woman in a little tiny car that she whipped out, and pulled forward, and then she decided she was going to cut back in so she could get off at the exit, and so she slammed on her brakes. Well, even though I was staying back, I had to nail the brakes pretty hard in order to avoid hitting her, and she got out of the way. But did I become hysterical? No. I didn't. It was rather amazing because I didn't even end up with an adrenaline hit, which I thought was interesting. Even though I had to react, make a pretty intense reaction to avoid hitting her, I did not end up, with the adrenaline hit. So that actually made for an interesting test. At least a test for me. So I think, this meditation, the one way that I'm looking at this, this meditation has led me to a place where I really let's see if I can express this better. I'm in a state of awareness that is perfectly calm, really perfectly at rest, perfectly at peace, even though I'm interacting with the world. And even though sometimes people do crazy things. And I really think that that's what I was always looking for. And I think that's probably what people think of when they think, let's just hope that it all goes back to normal. You can't rely on other people giving up their hysteria. any more than I could, let's say I could say, well, I want to give up carbohydrates, but I want everybody else to do it. And unless everybody else does it, then it's too hard for me to do it by myself. That's a rationalization I hear, you know, people make. They say, well, there's just too many carbohydrates. They're just available everywhere, and it's just too hard. I can't do it. Can't give them up. I want everybody else to do it too. Well, that's ridiculous. You know, and it's equally ridiculous to think that people are going to stop being hysterical. Because that's really what we're talking about. You know, you want things to go back to normal, you know, or less hysterical. That's not going to happen. You know, if you want less hysteria, then you've got to do it yourself. You really have to do it. You have to take the initiative yourself. So give that meditation a try. As I say, I can't promise it's going to help everybody, but I do believe that it will in fact help most people if they just try it. Excuse me. So anyway, I think I'm going to bring this to a close. Hope everyone is having a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.